everybody. Thanks again for listening and tuning in. And this one's a little bit different. You know, I like to tell you, the entrepreneur, how to make your life better by reaching for your dreams, to finance the dream, to find money, to save things, and whatever it is to make it happen, to leave that 9-to-5 job, to start a business, to expand your business, to get a little cash flow going. So I'm here to help. And then I like to contribute to you. This stuff is free. You know, I'm not trying to sell you something. And I'm passionate about helping people with their business and with their lives and make it better. So that's the cool thing. But I'm going to take a step back. It is related. You'll see. This is about charity and donations. And quick story, you know, if you've listened to any of my other podcasts or read my ebook or my blog there, you know, I have some stories about my parents and other things that have influenced me. You know, my parents, you know, they kind of lived their own dream. They father ran his own cabinet shop. He started from a one-man cabinet shop. He started in a chicken coop, and he grew it to a large appliance and cabinet distributor with 30 employees, and is one of the largest in the Pittsburgh area for a period, until he had a heart attack and some health problems that he backed out of it. But then he was successful with some other things after that. Became, despite not having education, he became a savvy investor and real estate investor, and he did well for himself, you know, supposedly only being a C student with dyslexia. But one thing he did do is both my parents, they gave, you know, they gave to their church especially and to other charities, and they were helpful to some other family members and friends and to the community, volunteered, and you know, whether it's hospital or some community civic organizations or just some people that we knew in the community. I know my parents would help them out in different ways. It wasn't just money all the time, but they'd spend time and effort, and my father would build things and do things for the church and construct things and whatever. And I have a lot to live up to, and I try to do that myself. But this kind of mini series within my other series is about charity and donations, and you know, I thought I'd point out some neat different charities. You know, I have a couple different things to say about the subject. I think, you know, especially a lot of us now have gone through some times, and maybe you're in some times now where you're like, boy, I need some more money. I'm not going to give some money away right now. Charity, I got to pay for myself. You know, I got to worry about my kids and that. And you're thinking about yourself, and that's understandable. You do have to take care of the family. But let me tell you something. Once you start, no matter how bad you are, there first of all, there's always someone worse off than you are. Keep that in mind, and that helps you. But as soon as you take your focus off yourself and your worries and try to help someone else, try to solve a problem, things change. They really do. And it sounds silly. It's kind of almost a cliche. But, you know, I've even read books about various people, some experienced business people, even some movie stars, and that, you know, that they were all about themselves, kind of focused to, things weren't really necessarily going well. Maybe they made some bucks, maybe they didn't, but as soon as they started kind of looking outward instead of looking inward, and as soon as they started giving or donating or contributing or volunteering and helping others or solving a problem, you know, and they didn't worry about the dollar, things change. You know, there's something in us all that we feel better when we give. And it's like you give a little bit and you feel, man, I can give a little bit more. And so you know that there's not that scarcity there. And there's something that works in your psyche to benefit you. That, you know, ideally we're supposed to give altruistically, not to think of that. But let me tell you something. Charity and giving helps you. You know, even things like what I'm doing, it's in a way I'm giving information and trying to share ideas. And I tell you what, even just since I'm doing this little thing, I've noticed, you know, there's an energy that goes out there. I don't know how to explain it. I'm not going to try, but any kind of giving helps. So volunteer somewhere. There's so many good charities. I'm going to name a few later. I'm going to have a little recording here I'm going to play, then I'll jump back on at the end of it. But, you know, I'm going to point out a few ways here that you can be charitable, and a few charitable organizations that you can consider. But please, even if you don't want to consider these, whatever, your church, your mosque, your temple, whatever it is, donate. Your Salvation Army, your Red Cross, your United Way, your local food bank, I don't care. And, even some of the arts, there's the art, there's probably a local theater, there's a local NPR radio station. There's so many good things that they give back to the community. YMCA, I don't care what it is, your religion, your creed, your interest. Just give something. If it's $10 a month, first of all, it's the idea that you can give, that you have enough. There's so much in this country that we have that we take for granted, and then we kind of get tight on the bills and we think we don't have enough, but we have more than enough, and giving helps us remember that. And so I encourage you to whatever is, and really if you can't give or you don't want to give, volunteer and give. Hospitals need help, churches need help, you can volunteer at soup kitchens. There's so many different ways. I don't care, clean the highway. It sets an example for your children, for other adults. It's kind of a circle that keeps on going and building itself. But there's some. I'm going to talk about four charities on this one, and as I mentioned at the end, please feel free to email me at jim@doughforthedream.com if you have some charities that you really like or you want me to check out, or you want to say, hey, what about this charity, or did you ever hear anything about this charity or that charity? And there's some resources online too I'll share on another call. But the first one I want to talk about is kind of a too child-oriented, love kids. And years ago, before I had kids, I came upon this. When someone's born with that here in the United States, it's immediately corrected, and maybe you might have a scar for a little while, maybe you won't. So over there, they'll go years and years with it. And sometimes the operation, sometimes the doctors volunteer, and it'd be as little as $250 to correct the child. And if you can't afford that program, here's a quick little audio, and I'll jump back on after. But here, please listen, and I appreciate you taking the time. Again, there's lots of cool things out there. Here's Candace Bergen talking about the Smile Train.
Can you imagine what life would be like if you could never smile? If you could never speak or eat properly, if you could never play with other children, never go to school or hold a job? This nightmare is what life is like for millions of children in the world who are suffering with cleft lip and palate. From the day they're born until the day they die, children with clefts face incredible hardship and heartache. Other children tease and torment them. Society shuns them. And sometimes even their own families abandon them. Nobody knows how many babies born with clefts are left by the side of the road every year. But it doesn't have to be this way. The good news is that every child that is suffering with a cleft can be helped. All it takes is a little surgery that lasts as little as 45 minutes and costs as little as $250. That's all it takes to give a desperate child not just a new smile, but a second chance at life.
So you can see, it's a really neat program, and there's lots of stars and other people that are involved in it. So, but check it out. Another one I wanted to point out is called Child Fund International, Child Fund International, or simply childfund.org, childfund.org. It basically, you can sponsor a child here, and that's, of course, they're focused on just ways to help a child better nutrition, better schooling, they growth and development, anything from infants up, nutrition care, supporting children in their education and transitions from the youth into the community and as they go into adolescence and young adults. So you can sponsor children all over the place. I know my family and I, since years ago, it used to be $21 a month, and you can spend more or less, and you can give a one-time gift. So there's lots of different ways to help. There's Indonesia, there's China, there's India, many places in Africa and South America, all over the world, really. I think up in Eastern European and some of the poorer countries, even in Mexico, even in the United States, believe it or not. So there's lots of different ways you can sponsor a child, make a donation, plan giving, whatever. It's a neat way. You can write to the child. You can get their picture. My kids make a picture, and they'll draw something and send it to them, and it takes forever to get there, it seems like, but then all of a sudden we get a neat surprise in the mail, a gift and a picture from that kid, and you kind of see how they grow over the years, and you kind of build a bond to some degree. But so these are two really cool child-centered charities I ask you to check out. Now I'm going to jump off here and let you listen to Frank McKinney. He's he's known as the Renegade Millionaire real estate developer, and but this isn't anything about that. It's a way that they focus mostly on Haiti, and they were doing it before the earthquake, but to help build places, schools, orphanages, and houses, and help them become self-sufficient. Now I'm going to jump in again about another program to help people be self-sufficient using microloans. So please listen. These two are both, again, very interesting. And you'll hear in just a minute Frank McKinney speak about his program, and then I'll jump back on and say goodbye. Thank you so much, and please keep on listening.
Well, thank you for coming over to the Caring House Project Foundation page. My name is Frank McKinney, and this is the most important page on my entire website. You read a little bit more about what we do, but in a nutshell, the Caring House Project Foundation was founded over 10 years ago on a very simple premise that stability begins at home. Let's face it, I'm in the housing business. I build the most beautiful mansions for the most wealthy people in the world, but when you strip it all down, I'm just in the housing business, and I wanted to provide shelter to the world's most desperately poor and homeless people. It's quite a dichotomy I live, I will tell you, between the providing for the ultra-wealthy, but like a modern-day Robin Hood, I enjoy providing for the world's most poor. And how we do that is we are out of the charity business, I'm proud to say, and we're in the self-sufficiency business, where we take a plot of land, let's say in Haiti, for example, and we create a campus-like setting where we combine homes that are adjacent to an orphanage, and the orphanage is adjacent to a school that's adjacent to a clinic that's adjacent to a community center that has the pharmacy element, it has the renewable food, the renewable water. It typically has a commerce element, a free enterprise element, if you will, that allows the village to sustain itself. For example, if a fishing cooperative is something that's gone over quite well. And we combine all those elements, and we allow the village to flourish on its own. I hope that these people no longer have to count on their government. Lord knows it's hard to do so in some of these countries. And wouldn't it be nice if they didn't have to count on you or me as charitable individuals, where we can create a lasting self-sufficient existence? You will read about the projects that we've done over the last 10 years in countries like Honduras and Nicaragua and Indonesia, in Africa and in Haiti. And if you go to the top of the page and you hit the donate button, up will pop 65 different donation options for you to choose from. So let's say you want to build a house or you want to be involved in shelter. Well, you can build an entire village for $125,000. And as you can see, in descending order of donation, you can build a whole house over there for $5,000. Or you can donate donate $52 a month and provide shelter for one homeless person. If an orphanage is something that you're interested in, same setup. Build a whole orphanage for $120,000, and then again in descending order, you'll see you can provide shelter for one orphan for $69 a month. Same approach for the school. If you want to educate, we can build a pretty large school, around 6,000 square feet, for $70,000. Same thing with a community center. The place, if you want to, that's our church. That is our place for fellowship, for worship, for communal meals. If you want to be a part of that, you can build a whole community center for $40,000 all the way on down to $56 a month to provide one person with a space in that community center to be touched. Medical clinic, the renewable food, continue to scroll down where you'll see our water projects for clean drinking water. And if you want us to determine where to put your money to work, because we have so many different varying needs, and there's a category for you just to, hey, Frank, you choose where you put it. Here's our donation. So before you leave the site today, I encourage you to make a small or a large donation to help us with the good works of the Caring House Project Foundation. Listen, I don't draw a salary. I draw nothing from this other than the human capital that we're dealing in. You know, this is a business. The charity is run like a business, but the profit motive is completely different. My for-profit business has a financial motive. My not-for-profit motive has a spiritual motive and a motive to save lives, and that is the return on donation, ROD, that you will see should you make a donation to the Caring House Project Foundation. So take your time, read a little bit more about our Caring House Project Foundation, and consider supporting our good works today.
That was actually Frank McKinney from his own website that he manages, and the Caring House Project Foundation. That was a recording that Frank gave a presentation here in Pittsburgh, and he's been around different times, and very active in Haiti, and I have known people personally that have gone down there with him and donated various amounts, and you can actually travel down there. He has a kind of a, at least before the earthquake, some programs that you could travel down, meet him, travel to Florida first and see some of his huge mansions that he's built, and then go down to Haiti itself and meet some of the children and people that you help. But since the earthquake, he's been, of course, he went down there right away. He was one of the first people down there, even before some of the Red Cross and troops and things like that helping. And so it's a self-sufficient type of thing. They try to help others help themselves. And that's one really neat foundation. You can go to www.frank-mckinney.com. That's frank-mckinney.com. And then on the top, you'll see Caring House Project, or just click on that, and it'll take you to a place to donate all kinds of things. And along those lines, kind of teaching someone to be self-sufficient, and you know, I'm always talking about financing and things like that. This is a neat foundation called the Grameen Foundation, Grameen Foundation, and it's simply grameenfoundation.org, grameenfoundation.org. And basically what they do is they combine the power of microfinance and technology to defeat global poverty. So what does that mean? So they provide these small microfinance or micro loans. It just means very, very small loans to people in these small emerging third world countries, and they can build a business for themselves, and it helps the community, and then they have to pay off the loan slowly, but it really is a neat thing. You know, for instance, there's one time this lady lost her family and her home in a tsunami, and so they gave her a loan for $100, which is nothing to us, but it's the world to her. So she opened a small stand in front of her house. She sold traditional meals, like their rice cakes and different things, and a meatball soup. And so, you know, this loan was able to you know, give her some pots and pans and some other things, and she could produce food and produce it faster than some of the things she already had, and her income increased to like $4 per day, and that's a lot of money. And then she's almost paid off, and she's going to apply for another loan to get some more dishes to expand her business. So, and she's starting to employ one or two other people part-time, so, and she wants to eventually own her own restaurant. So, that, you know, there's lots of different ways. In Mexico, there's a lady who had a $50 loan, believe it or not, and she bought thread and fabric, and she already kind of did some embroidering and weaving, and she was enough, for the first time ever, she was able to make enough profit to buy shoes for all 10 children to attend school. So her oldest daughter had been able to finish primary and middle school, and she, the daughter, is now a microloan client also. Of course, the lady has since paid her loan off. She's gotten a new loan and has paid that off, is now requesting a third loan to earn more money and make improvements to the family home. So that obviously helped all the kids, the single mother and 10 children, and she's able to provide services to the community as well. One more quick story. This happens all over. There's stories from Nigeria, Rwanda, China, Egypt, Ethiopia, India, Indonesia, I think the Dominican Republic, of course, Haiti again, and these small loans. Here's one from China. You know, five years ago, this lady, she earned like $439 a year growing fruit trees, chili peppers, and peanuts. And they wanted to expand the farm that they did. It's a very small farm. So they took out a loan of $146, which, again, seems small, but it can be the world to these people. She bought some piglets for breeding, and pork prices were on the rise. So the family was able to double their income in the 3 years, and they were able to provide other products to their community that weren't available there. And they were able to pay back their loan and even a second loan. So, you know, they've had some other things and some other opportunities, and then they put some money back into the community. Another family member, kind of over the years, went into the furniture business. And so, you know, she made some furniture and went to another village and asked for additional money to start a furniture business with her husband. And, you know, it kind of grown on in there. And some of the family members have eventually gone to college and learned other skills besides farming, and they see the world. So it's kind of a neat thing that, you know, small amounts of money, the people are not just taking it and, you know, eating some food and that's it. They're taking it, they're building something, they're learning a trade, or they're learning at least financing a little bit better, business better. They help them. The foundation helps the people market themselves, kind of some basic bookkeeping and some other skills that they can use. And obviously, you know, they help themselves, they help their family, help the community. So it's a neat way. You know, there's lots of great charities out there. And frankly, as long as you give to anything, I think it's a great thing. But these are some things that kind of the gift that keeps on giving, to use a cliche. But these things are neat. And there's other programs like this too. So please consider this, you know, small money. There's You can donate on the website. You can donate anywhere. So, again, it's about giving. It's about giving back. It's contributing. We're not here just to make money and think of ourselves. There's a world out there, and I tell you, when you give, you get back in different ways. And that's not why you do it, but it does happen, and it's a neat thing. I hope this has helped you kind of open your eyes a little bit. I'm going to continue talking about other neat charities out there. And please feel free to email me and say, hey, here's a good charity, or do you know a charity about in this sector or about this item? And I'll search for it. Or if you, like I said, if you know a good charity, I'd love to talk about it again. This is an ongoing series about charities, and I'd be glad to help. Give and grow and take action. And thank you so much for listening. Take care. Bye.